Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good evening, everybody. And my talk about congenital birth defect in Basel. Before I start my lecture, I have to tell you something. Before I was started 20 years ago looking for congenital birth defect in the south of Iraq. And my first research was in 1994, when I have just done it as a part of, undergraduate or postgraduate studies, the diploma studies. And we found that the congenital birth defect was about 1.37 per 1,000 live birth, which is comparable to the adjacent and the surrounding countries. So this is just to be sure that the result is not increasing or it has nothing now to something to concern about. But the last decade, as my work as an obstetrician, I see a lot of cases of congenital birth defect. This raised some question in my mind. I have to repeat what I have started since 20 years. So accidentally, Mrs. Mozigan had found me by the internet, and she checked who is going to search about congenital fetal birth, and she ringed me. She said, "You are Professor Sabat." I said, "Yes." So we want to share a new research, more extended research, to study the birth defect and why we have such increment, which is unexplained. A few historical points about Basra city you should know about. Basra is the capital of Basra Governorate, and it is located on the Shatt al-Arab River in southern of Iraq, between Kuwait and Iran, and it has an estimated population of about 2 million in 2007. The number was increasing to 3.5 million in 2012. The number now is more increasing because of migration of a lot of people from the north of Iraq. Christian and Yazidian people and Shia people came to the south of Iraq because of Daesh, if you have ever heard about Daesh. So the number now increasing more than, I would say, even 4 million. It is the main part, Basra is the Iraq main port, although does not have a deep water access, which is handled at the port of Umm Qasr. The city is part of historical location of Somar, the home of Sindbad the sailor, and the proposed location of the Garden of Eden. It plays an important role in the Islamic history, and it was built since 1,400 years ago. Basra is considerably one of the hottest cities in the planet, with a summer temperature might even exceed 50 degrees centigrade. Probably 120 or 117 Fahrenheit. Yeah. And this picture shows Basra in 1960. This is Umm al-Broom Square. This is the main square in Basra. And this is the Shatt al-Arab River, part of what we call Al-Ashar River, the branch of Shatt al-Arab. When the water access became high, this will absorb the water. And this is another view of Al-Ashar River. And this is the new stadium for Basra, built newly. And these are the palaces of Saddam Hussein. And there are four palaces located in Shatt al-Arab that was previously, till now they are present, but were destroyed somewhat. And this is the stadium of Basra. And this is one of the palaces, big palaces of Saddam Hussein, which was destroyed after the war. And this is the main street of Basra, we call it Al-Jazair Street. The picture was taken since 2 to 3 months, no more. And here is one of the artists well known in Basra called Badr Shakir Sayyad. The Basra known by him. And to start our lectures, wars of Basra. After the first Persian Gulf, which the U.S. called Operation Desert Storm in 1991, a rebellion struck Basra. The widespread revolt was against Saddam Hussein, who violently put down the rebellion with much death and destruction inflicted on Basra. A lot of people were killed by Saddam army, and a mass destruction to Basra city happened after a decision taken by George Bush to stop the war on Iraq, keeping Saddam in position. So he had the right to destroy more people, and because, as you know, all people at that time, they go against Saddam Hussein. So he had the green light to kill them and to destroy everything. And this is probably the main event happened in the south of Iraq. There's a lot of people that were killed, and a lot of buildings are destroyed by Saddam rockets.
You guys remember that there was a rebellion in Iraq to overthrow Saddam. It was a local, domestic, you know, rebellion, and they were trying to overthrow Saddam, and it was kind of a revolutionary situation. And then Bush sort of intervened and allowed Saddam and helped him to crush the rebellion, the people's rebellion.
Yeah.
Because you guys are talking about the science of people, but this was truly crushed by the U.S. With help of the U.S. Saddam was able to crush people.
Yeah, thank you. In March through to May 2003, which is the shortest way, this is the main strike, the outstrike of Basra were in the sense of some of the heaviest fighting in 2003, invasion of Iraq. British forces took the early, the city, sorry, on the 6th April 2003. This city was the first step for the United States and the United Kingdom during 2003 invasion of Iraq. On 21st April 2004, a series of bomb blasts ripped through the city. And this history, this date exactly, we would never forget in Basra. You know why? Because a big family of Iraqi doctor is living in Basra. The whole family was killed by a bomb at that time on his home. And the doctors and all the family were completely, they were killed. And this time, in this date, for Iraqi doctors from Basra, they would never forget this date. It is the date of 21st April 2004. As a series of bomb blasts ripped through the city, killing a lot of people, the multinational division Southeast under British command is engaged in security and stabilization mission in Basra Governorate and surrounding area. What they left to us is this. Destroyed vehicles, Iraqi vehicles, and military Iraqi vehicles, they were kept. No one have removed them. And as you know, they were exposed to bombs and exposed to biological weapons and every type of weapons, chemical weapons. And they remain in each side at the entrance of the main Basra city. This is another view of also destructed vehicles. And here is another view of a lot of vehicles, includes civilian and military vehicles, all destroyed. These are about 30 kilometers from the main entrance of Basra city. And we always say, you have to remove these. These are the source of pollution. These are the source of a lot of problems happens to our children, to our mothers, and no one concerned about them. Where I do work in Basra Maternity Hospital, just a few points about this hospital. This is a major tertiary hospital in Basra. It is about 400 beds. We usually handle 12,000 to 14,000 deliveries annually, vaginal and abdominal deliveries. So it is the main port of, where main port of drainage of the maternal center here. And we have another 5 maternity department, but they are part of general hospital. But our hospital is the tertiary center. It is the main maternity hospital, and it draws about 12 to 14,000 of deliveries per year. So when we say we have a research, then definitely we receive a lot of mothers delivered there. This is the place where I do work, the Basra Maternity College, Basra Medical College. And as I work as a professor of obstetric and gynecology, as a senior lecturer in this college. Yeah. And now, our subject is the strike of congenital hemorrhage. What we have noticed. But if I just tell you about my, just tell you on the beginning of the lecture, I said I have already studied this subject since 20 years ago. That was in 1994, 1995. And we have published this finding, and we have a special magazines called Basra Medical Journal. I will show you a copy of this. And we have published the research. The research, the result was 1.37 per 1,000 live birth. In 2003, the figure increased to 23. That means there is 17-fold increase in the level of congenital birth defect. We have no explanation for this apart from what happened to Iraq. No explanation. So we have a record that day. We have a yearly record in this hospital because it's always we record all birth. What we do actually, we took those patients who have a congenital birth defect or who have repeated unexplained miscarriages or have repeated intrauterine death, which is unexplained. Those patients were included in the study. All those who have history that suggested or you could explain their problem, we exclude them. I would say something. Let's suppose a diabetic patient. Mother, diabetic mother, she is liable to miscarriage. She is liable to have congenital baby. We exclude her from the study. Because this congenital birth due to diabetes. Mothers with, let's say, taking radiation or taking any types of drugs that interfere with the embryogenesis would lead to maternal, to fetal abnormalities. We exclude it from the study. So, any possibility or any predisposing factor that might lead to congenital anomaly was also excluded from the study. We include only those who consult us and say, doctor, please, would we conceive again or not? I have no answer. I couldn't tell her you should never conceive because I don't know, possibly she may have the next second baby, it's okay. Even irradiation, which happened in Japan, not all generations are affected by radiation. Some what we call a skip generation. Some generation they skip the congenital anomaly. So I have no answer for those females. Whether they continue their pregnancy, they will continue conceiving or not. Did they get separated? Husband and they got separated so that they will re-engage again for another husband or another wife so that this might be corrected. So this is a big problem for us, and this is the copy of the research we have done in 1994, and as you see the result here, this is study report between October 1994 and 1995. The number is 1.37 per 1,000 live birth in Basra Maternity Hospital, BMH. And here the table, before we go to the table, what are our aims from this speaking tour? We want to know what is the exact cause of this attracts and congenital fetal death. And we should compare our study with other different studies done on the same subject in the developing countries, in the nearby countries, to see the effect. It is only in our country or in other different countries. And to look for if there are any solution for those children who have a congenital birth defect which is compatible with life. Not every congenital birth defect is incompatible. Some of them, they are compatible. Like some I will show you in the slide, cleft lip and palate, they can be repaired, no problem. But this needs, of course, support. They need money. And to support those families, because most of them, they are poor families. They came from rural areas and they are poor. They are lives in rural areas, and to leave a clear message to all people about this, what happened and what is the real situation in Iraq. Because actually I'm surprising and I'm astonishing during my talk in the five previous universities where I talk, most of the audience, they didn't have an idea about the subject. And this is very astonishing. I thought this is an old subject and no one would concern about, because all they know about congenital fetal and birth defect, but surprisingly I saw most of the people, they have no idea about the subject and they have never heard about this rise of congenital birth defect. And this table will show you how much we have an increment in the birth defect rate, and the rate increasing 2003, the maximum rate was noticed at 2009, the rate reaching 48 birth defect in 1,000 live birth. I put this slide, actually, this is for leukemic child. All they pass, all they died. Those have acute lymphoblastic. But I put this slide because I have no pointer, but the one I will say this, yeah. The one in the middle is my nephew. This one. So he was died in 2007 because he had acute lymphoblastic leukemia. He's lived in Basra. And most of the child, they were affected by this problem. I have no explanation. There is a big research done by of my colleague about leukemia. And she took the research and she did it in Japan. And they show definite increment in the level of babies affected with leukemia. And actually, Japanese, they built a hospital in Basra, big hospital, to help those people with the leukemia. This is the way they did. And this baby you see is taking cytotoxic therapy. So this is alopecia because of he's taking cytotoxic therapy. I will show you what different congenital part of. I have a slide, I have a CD full of congenital anomalies. But I will show only a few of them. This is type of congenital malignancy, which is unexplained. All pediatricians, we show them this picture. What type of syndrome is this? They know. There's big tumor involving this area, and there's big polyomyeloma with blindness. No one knows what is this. Is it a syndrome? It is a problem. It is a certain disease. We don't label it. We don't know what is the diagnosis of this. This one is what we call anencephaly. That means absence of skull. No skull. The brain is coming out through the... You see, this is the brain. It's coming out through the meninges, coming out through the head. And this type of congenital is incompatible with life. The baby will die immediately. And you see here, this one type of congenital anomaly, which is compatible. The baby can't survive that time. This is what we call cleft lip and palate. The lip was open and the palate open also. The problem with these children, once they have milk, it will go to the trachea. It will not go to the esophagus. So they will have pneumonia immediately. They will die because of this problem. So you should have either you feed them by nasal gas, unless until they start, they know how to took the milk. Otherwise, always milk go to the trachea. This is what we call a cleft lip and palate. This is type of soft tissue anomalies, which is repairable, actually. What you see is here is conjoined twin. The twin all together. This is what we call conjoined twin. And the problem is with this lady, I deliver her by cesarean section, by abdominal delivery. Because as you know, this is a big mass, cannot pass through the vagina. No way. So you have to open her abdomen. So see how much is this an obstetrical dilemma. You deliver a patient by cesarean section, you open her abdomen, and you keep the uterus with a scar, previously was not scarred uterus, and you give her a baby which is congenital anomaly, is going to die within seconds. Who accepts this? Within seconds the baby will die because this is congenital, is incompatible with life. The baby will die immediately, only he will have few breaths and will stop breathing. This congenital anomaly is the viscera coming out the abdomen. These are the intestine and the liver. This is the black one is the liver, and this one is the intestine. Intestine, large and small bowel coming out of the abdomen, and you can see the baby here more clear, the picture. This is the baby, and these are the viscera coming out the abdominal wall. This is also incompatible with life. This one is what we call epidermolysis bullosa. So you have a baby who is just delivered, and he is like burn. You see sometimes if you have burn in your hand, or this, the skin is coming out. Yeah? This is typical. As if it was burned in the abdomen. This is what we call epidermolysis bullosa. This is compatible with life, but she needs special care. It is not incompatible. Compatible, but it needs special care. Now, what we have, this is a congenital anomaly. This is Edwards syndrome. This is type of a chromosomal abnormality you usually face. And this one is what we call Putter syndrome. It's also a type of congenital anomaly with low set air and there is no kidneys. Absence of kidneys. We call it renal agenesis. That means there is no kidneys. The baby will die immediately once. This is what we call ichthyosis. Ichthyosis. And this is another picture of ichthyosis. You see, this baby I deliver the mother vaginally, not by cesarean. That was the first time I faced such problem. Actually, I have practiced about 30 years in obstetric. 30 years in obstetric practice. I have never seen child like this. I just go away. What is this? What's coming out? The mother insists to breastfeed her baby. I said, this is going to die, mom. She said, please, I want just to breastfeed him. He just take a few, and he passed within, I would say, a few seconds, no more, a few minutes, sorry. So this is a tragedy. We gave him oxygen, but it is no benefit, of course. This is this also conjunctive issues, two scrotum, two penis, and the bladder is coming out. We call it ectopia vesica. Ectopia vesica. The bladder is coming out of the abdominal wall. And always when you see an abnormality, look for others. You shouldn't be so unusual or not. This baby with webbed neck, the neck like this. It's not the problem with the neck though. The problem is that you are going to deliver the baby by cesarean section of the mother because this head is not coming out through the vagina. It's difficult to have this big head to come through the vagina. So you have to deliver abdominal. Yes, so you have a making an obstetrical dilemma for this patient because you deliver her vast section and at the same time you give her a congenital human baby which is going to die in any way. This is what we call absence of plantar. This is the plant of the foot. This is the plant of the foot. There should be creases here and there. But once you see there is no creases, the problem is not with the creases. But once you see this, you should look for another congenital human baby. Not usually find only one. Once you find one congenital, you look for other. You find something else, which is not necessarily seen. Either absence of kidney or absence of liver, or what any type of congenital might be accompanied. This is the same baby had, when we turn the baby on, we see the fingers are stick together. What we call syndactyly. Syndactyly. All the fingers are stuck together and you see, like this. No fingers. This is the same baby with the plantar creases. And this is the last slide, actually. Before I came to US in my clinic, a female consulted me. She said, "Doctor, someone told me you have a large abdomen. What can I do?" I told her, "Do you consult before?" She said, "No." "Do you have an ultrasound before?" She said, "No." "Okay, let me go up. I will did an ultrasound for you." And I did ultrasound. It was hydrocephalus. This is a big head. The big head, what we call hydrocephalus, is the problem also, I would say, not for the big head. The big head, we could manage it as an obstetrician. But the problem is that you are going to deliver her by vaginal, abdominal delivery, sorry. Because the head is not coming out simply. So you deliver her by cesarean, and then you give her a congenital baby. She will seek a medical advice, many times medical advice. This is a tragedy. Even sometimes you find doctors, their babies with hydrocephalus. They go and they did the operation and you have to change the shunt. They did shunt for them. Shunt for the CSF from the brain to the intra-abdominal cavity. They have to change the shunt every 2 years. So every 2 years they should consult. They should pay money for that. So this is not easy. No one will kill his baby. Who do that? It's always they keep observing and keep caring of them and take care of their baby. So they need time and they need to spend money a lot. And lastly, I would say Basra is the main source of petrol for Iraq and for the adjacent countries, and still people looking to the West. This picture taken by my camera before I attend my clinic, I would say 14 days ago. Thanks a lot for your nice attention, and the thanks should be to all those who share our research and for their help and support. Thank you.